Pray, Lord, even now for Israel.
For all the difficulties that they're having, I pray, Lord, for many, many victories. Pray, Father, that you would protect the land and the men and the women that are involved in keeping the citizenry safe. Pray, Father, please, that you would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that oppose them. And Lord, see just at every level in life, I pray you make it difficult for the soul that hates you and makes it their business to make life difficult for your children in whatever form or fashion. And bless those, Lord, that your children father as well. As we strive to live for you, as we strive, Lord, to reach out to lost souls, we know there are many promises and many helps ready and waiting for us, Lord, Lord, at your feet. And I pray you for them all at this time. Please look after Ling and Dr. Shine and Frank as they travel over to Switzerland for the holidays. Please be with Will and Christine and Marianne, Pat and Steve, for Norman, for John, for Monica and myself. You know each and every one of our needs, Lord. Please, Lord, I pray for healing, for comfort, for wisdom, Lord, and for patience and strength. Just pray your provision in whatever form it is that it's in. And I pray you, Lord, that we would bless our time here this evening. You would open our understanding. You would strengthen and comfort us, Lord, just whatever it is that we need. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, and for your long-suffering and patience for us. And we pray you, Lord, that you would come quickly, but most importantly, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. I'm going to take a tour through the wee black book this evening. We're going to begin with number one. How great thou art. In number one in the wee black book, how great thou art.
The stars I am.
stuff as you okay to read this evening. Right, we're swapping books. This is a wee taste for Christmas. 431 in the big books. 431 is Silent Night, Holy Night. If your foot will stand as we sing, Silent Night, Holy Night.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cries. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and trust, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice an offering thou didst not desire, Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do the will of, O my God. Yea, thy laws is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me. About mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen.
Here's a promise for you. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. It's a great promise. Thank you for that. Just want to remind everybody of the Green Prayer List. Does anybody have anything else that needs to be added to that? Anything that needs to be added to that? That for your driving or for your
driving?
Be
sure. I don't think he trusts me.
And the big car practically drives itself. For travelling mercy. Traveling. Is it to Dublin?
Friday morning.
You'll be praying about that. And Frank as well. All right. Any other prayer requests? I can't think of anything else. Oh, yes, please do pray for Ed Bissett. He's actually the first name on our list there. He took part in our wedding ceremony 16 years ago, would you believe? So, I think I probably mentioned that he has a cancerous growth in his bladder. Many people have been praying. He's been taking a lot of those apricot seeds. I'd be interested to hear how his surgery went, and even if it's still there. So please do pray for Ed and Joan Bissett at this time. Surgery is on Friday morning. No, 21st. Friday week morning, not this
Thursday.
Friday.
Thursday.
You said Friday.
I may have, but it's Thursday.
Okay. So it's Thursday and Friday. It's a bit like our wedding, is it?
21st.
The 6th and the 7th. So on the 21st of... That's a Thursday, isn't it? 21st and the 7th.
Yes.
Thursday the 21st of December, he's going in for surgery. But I hear he's out that day or the next day. So we'd appreciate your prayers. Please pray for Pearl Hetherington. Please also pray for... Marianne
Hamilton.
Goodness.
my dad will be travelling down to spend Christmas with us and with everybody else. So appreciate your prayers for him too. I think that's about that. I can't think of anything else. How we all fix for private prayer, because folks all have private prayer requests. Yeah. Put your hands down, thank you.
Do you want to mention New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah, can do. New Year's Eve, we were hoping to do something like we did last week and have our service and then do something just like soup and sandwiches and then have a very short service afterwards and go home. That way, anybody that needs to have New Year's Eve celebrations can go and do it. Or you can just stay in, light the fire and put your feet up, which seems all the more appealing to me now. So that's our plan. Would that work for everybody? It's not, don't need to bring piles of food, it's just it'll be soup without barley, without leeks, and what's the other thing? That onions, there'll be none of those things in them. There'll be squash, turnip, carrot,
green beans,
ginger, some stock cubes, maybe and sandwiches. We don't even know
chicken.
What chicken sandwiches they eat.
Chicken in the soup.
Oh, so it's chicken soup, it's not vegetable soup.
Chicken vegetables.
Chicken and vegetable soup. That would be the plan. You're welcome to come along and then have our... My gift to you was, for Christmas, was 25 minutes of a service yesterday, or this past week. And as a New Year's gift, I could probably do something similar for New Year's Eve service. Get the idea anyway, don't you? If that's okay with everybody, just that works. That's my proposal. Otherwise, we can just do a full day's service. But I'll leave it up to you folks. You can decide what you're going to do. I don't think Steve and Pat will be joining us. By all accounts, Steve is having dialysis. Not this Sunday coming, but next Sunday and the Sunday afterwards, just over the holidays. So please do pray for Steve and Pat as well. I think that's about that. Don't forget to pray for each other. I don't know about you, but I certainly need prayers at the moment. I think I'm suffering a bit of pancreatitis again. I would appreciate your prayers for that. I think I've been very generous with what I can and can't eat. And I've just had to go back to very simple foods, and it seems to be working, so I would appreciate your prayers. Norman's got a sore foot, pray for that, and he has some other things coming up this week. Lord knows what they are, please do pray for them as well. Along with Ling's private prayer request, John, if you have any, Monica, myself, of course, Dr. Shang, well, Pat and Steve. But anyway, I'll have a quick word in prayer, we'll sing another song or two, and then we'll open our Bibles. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. You know all things, Father, and you recorded so many of them in your word for us, and I thank you for it. Please bless us as we take this time around your word. Lord, for all the prayer requests that have been mentioned, especially for Pearl and Marianne, and even for my dad as well, Lord. For Norman, and whatever's going on with his foot, and for all the other things he has on his plate this coming week. For Lynn as well, for Monica, as she and her family grieve over the passing of her mom. Please help her with that. Whatever wills, private prayer requests are, we leave them at your feet. And whatever Pat and Steve's are, we'll just pray for them too. Not forgetting Colin, pray he's able to make it home in one piece. I pray, Lord, for giving me life lessons with him. Please oppose all those that hate you, Lord, and please bless those that love you. And I pray, Lord, even now, that you would give countries the opportunity to see what can happen whenever a country is given over to you. We love you and praise you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. All right, amen. We're in the wee black book again, if you'd like to take a turn there. Hymn number 10 we're going to do next. Hymn number 10. Number 10 in the Wee Black Book, Thine Be the Glory. Amen. Your foot will stand as we sing, if not, just remain seated. That's about that.
Amen.
And so, even though in Ling's notes it says the Lord knows, in my notes it says the Lord knows, I think the title should be How Great Thou Art. Psalm 103, I'm going to read about 18 or 19 verses of Psalm 103, and I hope this is a help, a strengthening, and even a comfort to you today. Psalm 103, this is called the Psalm of David. The Word of God says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he remembereth our frame, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord," we'll read it all. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Amen. That is our Bible reading. Verses 11 and 12 are the ones that really brought me to this portion of God's word, but there are so many other good verses in there that just tell us how great God is. So let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for loving us and watching over us, for bearing with us and being one of our number this evening. I pray, Lord, please, that you minister to us as we take this time around your word. Please be with the preachers and teachers of your word, wherever they may be, those that love you and preach the full counsel of it, Lord. I pray a special blessing and a help to you. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please be with us now, I pray, you, Father. And we love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Psalm 103. Looking at the first part of this psalm, it's just a reminder of how much God loves us. And you know, love is much underrated. It's so badly described and portrayed. And yet the love that is described in the Bible, a sacrificial, a love that doesn't mind giving to the object or the person of his love, is the love that God has for us. And whenever we read all of these things, we would do well to remember that God is not a God of afar off, but he's a God of up close and personal. In fact, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And as we read, and I'm just going to scoop through a few of these things very, very quickly. One of the first things that the psalmist says is that he will bless the Lord with his soul. He's going to thank him, he's not just going to thank him with his lips. He's going to let his life show and his deeds show that he is blessing the Lord. And the best way any of us can bless the Lord is just by doing what God asks us to do. And you need to know, God will never ask you to do anything that you can't do. Bear that in mind. Then he says, don't forget the things that God has done for you. As soon as I mentioned that, or as soon as I was looking at that, I got to thinking about that old song, Count Your Blessings. name them one by one, which we should do from time to time. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. There's a few verses in here have to do with the cornerstone of Christianity, which is free, forever, and for sure salvation. One that God holds on to, and keeps you in the palm of his hand. One where no matter what you do, or I do, or the devil does, can't be undone. And it mentions them here. He redeemed us from destruction. He has, it says, crowned thee, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He doesn't just forgive us when we do bad things. He rewards us when we do good things. But he's also there to give to us simply because we are his children. And I got to read in the next wee bit that says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. I'm going to tell you something. There are so many things in this world that people look to, that people cling to, in the hope that it will give some meaning or some pleasure in their lives. And there's a little verse in the scriptures that says, any man that is in Christ is a new creature. And so all of the things that we used to look to, like I think we were talking about a good steak at one point earlier on today, maybe Norman and me. And there's a lot to be said for the iron and the protein, the good quality protein that's in a steak, and the way the juices sometimes just want to mash it up in your mouth and enjoy the steak juice, if there is such a thing. But a lot of people look to those things as like a little escape from the conviction of sins, that and lusts and pleasures and acquisitions. But whenever you get saved, you can enjoy those things for what they are, a good meal. But enjoy them as a different person. And enjoy the things the world has to give you within reason. There's stuff, a lot of stuff out there that is just downright bad for you. Because you're saved and you look at, you can stand and look at the sunset, and instead of looking at it and think I have to be in work in 8 hours again, you can say that's the end of another beautiful day, a day closer to heaven, because you're saved and on your way to heaven. And there is a thing about being with Jesus and walking with Jesus. You get a thrill and excitement and look forward to doing what he asked you to do. Speak these words, he said. Remind people of how much I love them and the things that I have done for them, of the great salvation. And the Bible says, you, that is me, or indeed anybody that speaks, will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You need to remember as well, and it is not a very popular subject in this day and age, ever since the 7th of October, but God still loves Israel. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And even with them, for all their failings, he is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And you and I would need to be aware of that. Because just because we're saved does not make us perfect. The only difference between you and I, friends, and the folks that are sitting in a pub, or filling their veins with drugs, or in a harlot's house, or a whoremonger's house, that we're sinners saved by grace, and they are sinners, or they're not saved by grace. They're still sinners. The Lord doesn't hold a grudge. And we may have disappointed him in our life, but the Lord is ready to forgive us whenever we tell him we're sorry and mean it from our hearts. That doesn't mean you're not saved whenever you make a mistake. It means you're learning, or at least you should be. And the Lord might be angry, just like a father is angry with a son or a daughter that rebels against him and disobeys him and may even have to tan it behind with a switch or a belt or a slipper, but that doesn't make them not his children anymore. And it's the same for you and I. We would need to remember that. It is only his love for us that keeps us from being completely and utterly destroyed. He knows what we're like. We're limited in our lives. What does the Bible say? We're like a flower that blossoms and then the wind blows and we're gone. We're limited in our understanding. We're limited in our abilities, our ability to influence the world, our learning, our understanding. And yet the Lord looks kindly upon us. We are his children. And for those souls here and out there that trust in Christ as Savior, we need to remember that's forever. It's not just your ticket into church. It's not just your ticket in the car and the lift to church. That's forever. It's not just for Sunday. It's for every day for the rest of your life and every day in the endless ages of eternity. And it is so powerful that it will affect, the Bible says, from generation to generation. We need to remember. And just some of the precious promises of God. And there are many more. I don't know about you, but they're much needed promises. Not just in this one, even the one that Norman was reading there as well today. All over the Bible, so no matter where you pick up the Bible, there will be a help to you, a reminder of how much God loves you, how much God has done for you, and he wants the very best for you, but we need to do things his way. The verses that really caught my attention were verses 11 and 12. And it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." I don't know about you, but we can use lasers and satellites and this, that, and the other. We can actually figure out how high the sky is above the earth. I think civilian aircraft fly at about 5 or 6 miles above the earth. You would literally, if you fell out of the plane, you would probably suffocate and freeze to death on the way down. Might take you a few minutes getting down, but you would probably be depressed. I don't know what that's like, but you'd probably be dead. And that is a measure of God's mercy towards us. Sometimes we can run through it real quick with our behavior. But as far as being saved and going to heaven, that is so far above our heads that it might as well be a completely different world. And if it wasn't for us being able to put a finger on it, 25 or 30,000 feet above the ground means nothing to us. 40 foot, we can see that. We can experience that. 100 foot, if we go on to a block of flats. But 30,000 feet, that's beyond our understanding. And I love this next verse. And I'll always remember this verse. I remember being in a service, and a pastor mentioned, but it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. You might think that's not very far. If the Lord had said, so far as the north is from the south, well, you can go from the south to the north. You literally start the South Pole and you go to the North Pole. You will go from the south to the north and you can walk back again. I think in this world that's maybe 5 or 6,000 miles. Maybe it's 14,000 miles. It's a lot more than we can understand in our heads anyway. But God has removed our sins from us, our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west. And it doesn't matter how far east you go. You will never get to the west. You can keep going and keep going and keep going. You will never get to the west. And you can start at the west and start moving east, and you will never get to the east. You will be heading in an easterly direction, but you will never make it. Just because it's around and around and around. And that is as far as our sins are gone from us. And that's worth knowing, Christian. There is no way that can be undone. That's how far away, even for God. If there was a way to get our sins back, God could do it, but this is an infinite being. But that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Like I said in some of the songs that we sang there this evening, we can just about grasp from our songs that God is great. But God is infinite in every respect. But the ones that apply to us is in his forgiveness and in his mercy, in his salvation, in his cleansing us from sin in the eyes of God completely, and it says to the uttermost. Did we mention his wisdom? He didn't even give some of it to us. He's not a jealous God in that respect. He's more than happy to outfit you with as much wisdom as you want. With the power and provision that God has, that keeps us going and being pointed in the right direction and helps for us as we go along the way. And in the times whenever we're at a low ebb, the Lord will lift us up with his strength. Whenever grief comes a calling, the Lord's comfort there is available for us in the measures that we need. But it's all there for those that trust in Christ as their Savior. Time, the devil, all the demons of hell, as they say, every single Christ rejecter, all their plans, all their preparations, all their machinations, they can't take that from us. Because God keeps it in his hand. We were talking earlier on there about all the things that are in store for the souls that are left behind when the Lord comes back. My comment is, it's an old one. If man can make it, man can break it. No matter what encryption, no matter what, whatever it is, sooner or later someone's going to find a way to hack it and to overcome it. But God's salvation cannot be overcome because he keeps it. He invented it. He is the power behind it. He is the mercy and the grace and the love behind it. I remember a great little verse from Revelation 3. And it's in that portion of Revelation where God is talking to the churches, and this is the church of Philadelphia. And this is what God said: I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Said in verse number 7, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Or simply put, if God sets something in motion, there's nothing anybody, anything can do to stop it. Even the very worst, fearsome attempts of the devil in this world. And we have seen them, and we're living through them right now. All that they do is fulfill biblical prophecy. All these Christ rejectors, they're literally written in the Bible. Their ignorance puts them in the Bible. When the Lord does something, no one can stand against it. When something happens or somebody does something, the Lord knows it straight away, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. That is what the Bible says. Every idle word, every thought, every deed is remembered and recorded. And for those that hate God, it's judged. So that no matter where a soul steps off into eternity, it'll either be the wrath of God in John 3:36 that meets them, or the love of God. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That will be given. I know there are many souls that whenever their lives are over, they are cremated with the view to, if their bodies are gone, then God can't get a hold of them. For the God that saves souls, for the God that cancelled out the sin or paid the debt for every single person and offers that payment to every single person, it is not going to be a stretch to get his hands on a person that has been cremated. You don't have to worry about that. It doesn't matter how dark the night is or how secure the bunker is.
as the Lord said, it doesn't matter even the depths of the sea or the highest mountain. It doesn't matter whether you're in a car, a train, or an automobile, to coin a phrase from Hollywood, planes, trains, and automobiles. It doesn't matter if you're in the ISS, on a moon base, or on your way to Mars, or even on the surface of Mars. The Lord knows and sees and hears everything, and is everywhere. And what people need to realize is that it's not a competition. It's never a competition between God and man. A lot of people think it's a competition. It'd be like a tiny little fly landing there, waving one of those wee feelers at me and saying, I'm going to beat you. And I have to put on my special glasses to actually even see him. He's that tiny. It'd be a laugh. We treat it like a competition. We as a creature, we try all of the things in the world to try and achieve what God offers for nothing. Well, not for nothing, it cost Jesus everything, but he offers it to us for free. Obviously, through repentance of our sin and faith in Christ alone as Savior. And you know full well, we've all been there. Every time we try something new, that before we were saved, that the novelty is a joy for a while, and it thrills us and it distracts us, and it takes away from the conviction of sin and judgment to come. But that soon wears off. God is not being mean, but he's being good to us, kind even to the lost soul, in teaching us that all the things that the world has to offer can never provide what he gives away for free. And all of these things, somebody will say, try over there. Somebody else will say, try over there. We really need to try down on our hands and knees in the presence of God. They're all directing us. That fails, that fails. Shopping fails, possessions fail, money fails, health fails. But Jesus never fails. All of them are to direct us to him, the only man that can save any soul, whenever they're prepared to admit that they're wrong. Made a mistake, Lord. I've been wrong my whole life. Would you please save me? Now, if you said that to some of your mates, they would laugh at you. And especially if you live in Derry, you never hear the end of it. I have a friend that he said something within a year or two of me moving up here. That's 35 years ago. And it still comes up in conversation. And we all have a chuckle about it. But God's not like that. Once the thing is covered by God, it's forgotten about. It's done and dusted. God just wants to see it. He doesn't want to rub our noses in it. He doesn't want to grind us into the ground. He doesn't want to have us standing over in the corner with our heads down, looking all glum and dejected and saying, that's the guy. I beat him. He doesn't want that. He wants us all as part of his family. Things go on our holidays and for two or three days. We have the keys to our house to feed the cat and check for post. Let the world see that someone still cares about our house. Well, she's got our contact details. We have hers. We know where she's going to be, pretty much. Switzerland. It's not that big a place, is it? Mm-hmm. Is it bigger than Northern Ireland? I don't know. Everywhere's bigger than Northern Ireland. Just so that you can be contacted. You don't need that with God. God is so big and great and powerful that no matter where you go, you can always contact God and he can always contact you. And heaven forbid something should happen to you, you will still be right there in the palm of his hand. You will never go so far as to remove yourself from it. And someday, and I wish it's many, many days away for all of us, should your life stop, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. With all our aches and pains over and done. Acts chapter 17:27. I'm going to stop with that.
says we should seek the Lord. They should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. He's always there. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. God is always there. Even if you have a TV there and the internet here and your friends there and your family there and they're all saying different things, God is still there with his hand on your shoulder and he'll be saying, son, keep going. Daughter of mine, keep going. If there's anything you need, come and ask me. I'll sort you. Stop him there. Hope that's a help, dear friends. God loves you very, very much. He wants the very best for you. Got an opening for a song by way of equipment, if anybody has one that they'd like for us all to sing. If you don't, Mrs. Bradfield, you look like you've one for us to sing. Go ahead.
We Three Kings.
Is that in the Reed?
It's in the big book.
The big book. We Three Kings.
427.
Even though there's five of us.
Try 427.
427. Just going to say, it hasn't let me down yet. Let's stand as we sing We Three, We Three Kings of Ireland.
Thank you.
week. Safe travels to Lent. Prayed for lots and lots over the next week and a half, isn't it? Just about. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for being such a great God, taking so much interest and for doing so much work for us, Lord. For saving our souls and for giving that offer to every single soul. Please bless us as we part company. Please be with our absent friend. Pray for safe travels. I pray for victories, Lord. I pray for health issues. You know them all. I pray, Father, for comfort and strength. I pray, Lord, for our daily bread. We love you and praise you. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world. Watch over us and keep us, I pray. And Lord, don't be done with us. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will, Father. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.